thank you, God, for that sweet prayer and for the wonderful blessing of the meeting thus far. Need your prayers as I stand before you this morning. I say that each time we come to the pulpit, but it's nonetheless true that without the Lord, we can't do anything in the way of teaching and feeding God's little lambs and sheep. The Lord has charged us with that duty and that responsibility to feed the church of God with the word of God, by the power of God, through the grace of God. And without the Lord, none of that's possible. And actually, it's impossible in us. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. If you have your Bibles and like to turn with me, I'd like to make an effort to speak to you today from the third epistle of John. And Brother James Land, I think every time I think about the books of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, I think of Brother James Land, who used to call these the little Johns of the Bible. He would speak of any of them as one of the little Johns. And this is the third epistle of John, just in front of the book of Jude, towards the end of your Bible. And it's a very short book of the Bible. It's a letter written from one brother to another brother. It's kind of, for me, stands out as kind of an unusual letter in the Bible. It is one that I've read quite often and studied and looked over quite often, but I don't remember, may have, but I don't remember ever making any effort over the many years to speak from the third epistle of John. So please pray for me this morning that the Lord would be with us as we look at this very important letter that was given. And we know that it's important because it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's part of the inspired word of God that's given to us to truly furnish us to all good works. So of all the things that may have been written by the Apostle John, we believe that's who wrote this. And you won't find the name of John in any of the writings of John. He never referred to himself like Paul often did, or we read down in the book of Jude where it says Jude, or we read of the writings of many of the writers would tell us exactly who's writing, but we can see in the language here that it's surely the Apostle John. Much of what you read here, you can find the same similar language in the Gospel of John, which was written by the Apostle John. And of course, he also was blessed to pin down the book of Revelation. But this third epistle of John was a letter that John wrote to a brother by the name of Gaius. A brother that he calls beloved, and he identifies as a well-beloved brother. And of all the things that might have been written by John, we can imagine there's many letters that he wrote, probably many letters that he wrote, that are not part of inspiration. But this is what God has kept for us and what God has given to us, that we might know how brethren ought to feel about one another, communicate with one another, what's important, what's needed among the brethren. And it'll be a benefit to us to emulate that, to use it as an example of and an example of how we ought to treat one another and think about one another. With that in mind, let's read the 14 verses that are laid out here. And keep in mind that John was an elder, a minister that was probably the bishop or the one in charge of a given church. And he's writing to another brother who's a member of another church, and it's like one brother writing to another brother from a church to a church. And you'll see those expressions in here. Very much like if one of us was writing a letter to a church in another place or to a brother in a church in another place, and we would share the feelings of the membership of this church with that brother, and the membership of that church in turn sharing their feelings back. So it's a communication between churches. Isn't it a wonderful thing to have church fellowship? Isn't it a wonderful thing that the Lord hadn't left us in this world all by ourselves? that the Lord has given us, brothers and sisters in Christ, and that the Lord has given us the individual churches that we have, and the sister churches that we have, and the fellowship that we have among the brethren. As I look at my life and think about my life, I think about what a blessing it has been to have the little churches, not only Happy Creek Church, which has been a great blessing, but our sister churches around us in other states and in other places, those that some we visited, some we've just heard about, but just knowing about them and knowing that they're brethren of like precious faith all over the United States and in other countries. And it allows us to see the kingdom a whole lot bigger than just what we see right here today. You know, it's a beautiful thing to see an assembly of believers gather. We've often mentioned, you know, that hymn that says, "Lord, how delightful 'tis to see a whole assembly worship thee." And it is a wonderful thing to see that this morning. But it's also wonderful to know there are other brethren meeting, worshiping the Lord, and that we have a fellowship with them and a communion with them and a kinship with them that's in the Lord. And how important that is, and how we ought to be mindful of that and praying for one another that the Lord would bless our sister churches and pray that they are praying for us, that the Lord would bless us as well. And you'll see in this letter, I'll read it, you'll see in this letter that feeling of love and fellowship that the brethren had one for another. He writes and he says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forward taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name." This as a part of the Bible that the Lord has left on record for us this morning. I just pray that God would bless us as we look at it to be able to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. He says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius." Now we know that John was an apostle, but here he writes not with the authority so much as an apostle, but as a minister of the gospel. And I see this written in love. You'll see the language over and over again of the love that the apostle had for Gaius. And that's important for us to remember whenever we're communicating with one another. In the Old Baptist Church, we have a practice, and it's been there since the time I've been in it, and probably for many, many years past. I believe it's a biblical practice of communicating with one another as brother so-and-so. It's kind of strange to the world at times when they hear it or see brethren speaking to one another, and I call you Sister Belinda and Brother J.D. or Sister Lois or Sister Martha, and folks look at that and they think that kind of sounds silly in this world. Sometimes I think we get a little lax even as old Baptists, and we stop we stop using that terminology, and it's not because we don't care for one another, but we kind of just say, well, it seems a bit formal, but it's really not formal. It's important that you and I continue to express that kinship that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ to one another. It helps us remember who we are and who you are, so that we are not responding to one another so much in the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's important that we are operating in the Spirit. It's important that as we live our lives, we operate and function in the Spirit. I ask you this question: how does it work, or how well do you get along when you get out of the Spirit and get into the flesh? How well do things go for you? You know, we can get into this world, and the next thing you know, we slip and slide and get into the flesh and forget who we are, forget our relationship to the Lord's people. More importantly, we forget our relationship to the Lord. The next thing you know, we start acting like the world and talking like the world and responding like the world and thinking like the world. And oftentimes we'll look at them and think, oh, I sure don't understand why they're acting that way. And then in the next moment, seem like we're acting just like, have you ever found yourself doing that, acting just like they're acting? In other words, I'm upset about how they're acting, but my response to it isn't any better than their response. And I'm not really acting like one who's well-beloved. Notice who he identifies Gaius as. He says, thou well-beloved Gaius. When I'm talking to you, I want to remember that you're well-beloved. That doesn't mean that just he loved him. It meant that Jesus loved him. And that's what you're talking to when you say sister or brother. You're talking to a well-beloved sister and brother. You're talking to one that Jesus loves so much and the Father loves so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to die for. And Jesus loved so much that he allowed men to bruise him, to spit upon him, to mock him, to nail nails in his hands and in his feet, to die for them on the cross. He suffered all of the agony of living a life that he would not have to live, he would not have had to come. Jesus didn't come because he had to help himself. Jesus came because we needed help, and he came to fulfill the will of the Father in saving those whom he loved. That's who he came to save. And to be well beloved is evidence. If you're well beloved, that means God loved you, not because you did something. He loved you. If you love him, it's why? Because he first loved you. In one of the other little Johns, Brother Land would say, he tells us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And then he says, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. And as we've said many times before, we love the Lord because he first loved us. And we love one another because he loved us. And you and I, when we call one another brother and sister, we're really saying that's somebody I love. That's my brother, that's my sister, and I love them. And I love them because Jesus loved them. And he loved them a long time before I loved them. He loved them before the foundation of the world. He loved them as long, as I heard one brother say it this way, as long as God has been God, he's loved his people. Now somebody said, well, how long is that? We're talking about the infinite God. But as long as God has been God, and as long as God will be God, he will love his people. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. You want to talk about eternal security? Talk about the love of God. Herein is love. He says also in that 1 John verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10, in the little John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, herein is love, one of my favorite verses. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And how did he prove that love? He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means the wrath-ending, atoning sacrifice. That means the wrath of God was taken away. You know why we can think about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be scared to death? And I hope you're not scared to death of his coming. I hope you're thinking today, oh, it'd be good if he'd come today, if he'd be good coming this morning. Now, if you think that your salvation is in your hands in any way whatsoever, You're going to have a lot of doubts and concerns about that, and you're going to be in a lot of fear. But when you understand from the Bible the love of God, that when Jesus comes, He's coming to gather home those that He loves. And it's nothing we did to get into that love, and there's nothing you can do to get out of that love. Does that sound good to you today? It does to me. Because I'm a mess. And if I could mess it up, just like everything else in my life, I would mess it up. I'd make a mistake. I wouldn't be what I was supposed to be. The well-beloved Gaius was well-beloved because God loved him, not because he loved God. And he loved God in turn because God first loved him. And he believed in Jesus. He trusted in Jesus because he was born of God, born from above. And if you believe in Jesus today and you love the Lord, it's because you were born from above. You didn't have a thing to do with it. The Lord chose you in covenant before the very foundation of the world. And that well-beloved gives you a relationship with others that are well-beloved of God. And we need to treat one another as beloveds. And when we stop calling one another brother and sister, it ain't too long before we just start seeing one another like old Gary and old Belinda and old whomever. And the next thing you know, we got trouble. Trouble in our homes, trouble in our lives, trouble in our church. Trouble in this world. And that trouble was not new to John. John talks about another brother. He's got a well-beloved Gaius, but he has another brother by the name of Diotrephes. I sure hope I'm more of a... I want to be a Gaius, don't you? I don't want to be a Diotrephes. A Diotrephes was one that was in the church. Yes, he was in the church, but he was the boss. He was in charge. He wanted the preeminence. He wanted to stand out. He wanted a position. He wanted a place. Sometimes we think, well, I couldn't become one of those, could I? I want you to know there's a Diotrephes nature in every one of us that would like to be the one that everybody's kind of looking to be in charge. That's not in you spiritually, but it is in you naturally. And we have to fight that. We have to put that off. That same kind of attitude can infect a home. That same kind of attitude can affect you on the job. Probably you have and have seen people on the job that had to be the boss and wanted to be in charge. And that's commonplace in the world. In the world, that's the way it operates. But I'm telling you, it is diametrically opposed to the way the Lord has set up His church. You know how the Lord has set up His church? Not for one man to be the boss, except for the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one head. It's not me. It's not the preachers who were here before. It's not the other preacher. It's not the association. It's not a group of men. We don't have a headquarters that's located in this state or that state or some other place. Our headquarters is located. We have a headquarters, but it's located in heaven. And our Savior is the head of the church. He's the high priest. He's in charge. And all of us are simply servants. And if we keep that in mind, we keep that the old Diotrephes spirit out of us. Diotrephes, he said, he loved to have the preeminence among them. Now, that well-beloved Gaius, he said, whom I love in the truth. There's a special love that we have for all of God's people because they're God's people. But we have a closer special love in the truth, don't we? When we can just say, you know, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords and salvation is by the Lord. And you can hear a brother say, amen, I agree with that. There's a special connection you have with brethren of like precious faith that you just don't find out in the world. Now, I find a lot of God's children and we have a good fellowship. But our communication kind of goes up to a point. And then we get to a place where we just really can't talk a whole lot more because we know that there's going to be a division, there's going to be, you know, we'll talk up to a certain point. But when you get right down to God having all power, and you get down to God having all salvation, and you get down to man having no ability and he's nothing, and God having everything, there's some that you just can't go very far with. I would that we could, as the Apostle Paul said about Israel. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He wasn't talking about the nation of Israel. per se. He was talking about God's people among the people of Israel. The elect family of God is who he's talking about. And he's talking about that they might have a better understanding of the truth. And that they might come to see and understand so that we could have a closer fellowship in the truth. I'm sure thankful that we have a place where we can come and hear preachers stand in the pulpit and preach salvation by grace without apology and grace alone, and that salvation is of the Lord, and that all the honor and the praise belongs to the Lord, and that men are nothing and God is everything, and without apology, and that'll lay out the 8th chapter of the book of Romans without any apology, and the 1st chapter of the book of Ephesians. And there are many places that don't even touch those passages. And as we heard yesterday, Brother Joe, on the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. And you lay those passages out to God's little children. That God made sovereign choice of his people because he saw fit to, and he's God. Our God is in the heavens. He's done whatsoever he had pleased. And he chose his people and he loved his people. And there's nothing that can separate us from his love. And he secured our salvation. And to have fellowship in that truth is a very special blessing. We as God's little children if we've enjoyed that for many years, and we have. You know, I came to see and understand this truth around 1976 in my life. Prior to that, I believe the Lord had worked a work of grace in my heart, but I could not see and understand at that particular time. Partly because there was some still will worship in it, but partly because I hadn't been taught. I had no one who had stood before me and preached it. I had no one who said, this is what the Word says. And then when I heard it, in my heart, the Lord had already written those things in my heart, and I knew in my heart they were correct, but then my duty was to search the Scriptures to see that they were correct, and where I had been taught error, I had to have, by the grace of God, the willingness to say I was wrong. You know how hard it is for men to say they're wrong? You know, we know how that is. And I've been in arguments even over the Bible. You said preachers argue over the Bible. Listen, preachers sometimes are the worst about that. I'm talking about the Bible. And because I wanted to defend a position, sometimes I would even take things that I knew. You know, in other words, this argument seems to be okay. I can present it here. But I knew in my heart that, and it's sometimes hard. You know what it takes? It takes humility. It takes your pride. Your pride has to be knocked. You know, dear Ashen had a ball game, and I asked him how it went, and he said, well, all my pride really got a hit. He said, it really got a hit. I said, what do you mean? He said, we lost by 40. And I said, well, that will sure impact your pride if you feel like all that, you know, some defeats along the way. And listen, it's a good thing when we recognize by the grace of God that I don't know everything and that I need the Lord. As a matter of fact, I need him, don't you? I need him to teach me his word. I want to come to his word and say, Lord, if I'm wrong, open up my eyes and my heart and let me be willing to confess I'm wrong and be thankful that I've been able to see something I've not been able to see before. And when we cease to be that way and become like Diotrephes, one of the things we do is we stop learning. We stop growing. We stop growing. And there is no standing still as a little child of God. You're either pressing forward or you're backing up. If you're just not holding your own, you're just not in neutral. You're either growing or you're backing up. And brethren, God's little children can back up. We can fall back. You'll never fall out of the care and the watch care of God. But we can fall out of growing and our warmth and the church meetings. And how do they show up? They become cold. They become something I'm doing out of habit. They become something where I'm sitting on the bench and I'm hearing what he said the last time, but I'm really not having it affect me or change me at all. Is that the way it happened to you at the beginning? Or was at the beginning when you came and first saw these things, you said, oh, I want to live different. I want to act different. I want to talk different. I want to be different. I want to behave differently. I want to respond differently. I want to get to the next meeting. I want to hear that next preacher. I want to get to the next. I want to be there. Not because duty says I have to be there, but because God loved me. I'm well beloved by God, and I owe Him everything. So I want to live my life in honor and praise to Him. And I want to raise my family and live in this world where I shine in this world as light. Not that I'm something, but that because He's everything. And when we're in a feeling like we're not there, that's when we get on our knees and beg God and say, God, yeah, I messed up again. Listen, and you will over and over. But you can come to Him. Isn't it good to know that if we confess our sins, He says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Verse 9 and 10 of one of the little Johns, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He's right to do it. You know why He's right to do it? Because Jesus died for our sins. That's why. To forgive us our sins. Isn't that good? Your sins are forgiven. Don't carry them anymore. Don't let the devil hold you back anymore. Don't let him say, you messed up last time, you're going to mess up this time. You won't do any better than you did the last time. No, that's a lie that comes from the devil, because God's little children are given the capability, the want to, and the ability to do better in this world because we're well beloved. That's what he wrote to Gaius. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10, here's Diotrephes. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So which of us have sinned today? Who are you talking to, preacher, when you're calling sinners? Everyone. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to every one of us. But here's the good news. You're well beloved. And well beloved Gaius, where Gaius means happy. That's a happy brother. You know why he's happy? Because he's loved of the Lord and he's loving the Lord. And to love the Lord, as he says over there again in 1 John chapter 5, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, God never wrote a thing in this book that'll make your life worse. Everything in it's going to help you. It's going to be a benefit to you. You might feel like it's restricting you or restraining you, but it's a help. It's a lamp unto your feet. It's a light unto your path. It's what we need to walk by here in this world. He says, whom I love in the truth. There's a love in the truth. I feel like we have a love here in the truth. When we sang the truth. The prayer expressed the truth. The preaching expresses the truth. The brethren we met with yesterday at Mount Carmel, I love them because they preach the truth. We got to hear the truth one more time. And I think of my life filled with those many, many memories of God's children in meetings and places that I've been where the truth was preached and declared. And when an untruth was declared, it stuck out like a bad note in a good band. You know, if you got a bad band, you don't notice the bad notes. But if you got a real good band, all you got to have one person mess up and it'll stand out real, real good. No, brethren, I want you to know it's wonderful when the brethren of like precious faith and they preach the truth and they preach it in power and in demonstration of the Spirit, and it gives honor and glory to the Lord, and there's no uncertain sounds that give men glory and men praise, and it doesn't take but a little bit. You know, I've heard some men preach sometimes on the radio or on television or in other places, and they seem to be just right on track, and right at the end they'll get to it, and just like a cow, they'll kick a bucket over and step a foot in it and mess up everything else that's been said. I don't want those kinds of sounds. And here this brother, he says, whom I love in the truth, he says, beloved. He calls him beloved in verse 2. He calls him beloved in verse 5. He calls him beloved in verse 11. I think we ought to call one another beloved. That's really what you're saying when you say brother and sister. You're saying, I love you because Jesus loves you. I'm commanded to love you. And it's easy for me to love you because the Lord put a love in my heart for you and put a love in your heart for me. And we have that kinship and that fellowship. That's why I hope and pray you feel a special fellowship at an old Baptist church. I hope that's what you feel. And you know what I found? I love it here. Thank God that it's here. But it's not just here at Happy Creek. You can go down to Old Mill today and walk in that church and you feel like you just, you know, some of you have been there. You can feel like I've been here before. Zion's Rest, I've been here before. Online in Meadow Creek. Brethren and sisters online, some of them I've never seen. And I feel a love for them just when I see their name on the Zoom screen. And I just see them there because I know some have sent me a little email, just an email, a word of encouragement along the way just to let me know. And they, you know what they said? They said just what was said here. I love you and I'm praying for you. And we're here in this world, but we're not alone. And it's good to know you're not alone. Oh, I feel sad for God's little children who feel alone in this world. Because God is a people that He's provided for us. And oh, what a blessing it is that He's allowed us to. You know, I know we're going to all see them in glory and in heaven. But I'm glad to have a little fellowship down here, aren't you? I'm glad to have that kinship, that communion with them. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Now it looks like he's saying that his natural health is more important than his spiritual health. But notice the language. It doesn't say that. It assumes already that the most important thing is already in place. In other words, he says, I want your natural health to be like your spiritual health. In other words, in a natural way, what's more important in a natural way? I'm telling you, it's not how much money you got in your bank account. It's not how good your retirement looks. It's not how all those things. Because you could have all of that. A man could have all the money in this world. And if his health goes in a natural way, if your health goes, you're in trouble. You're blessed if you have health. And that's what he's saying. In a natural way, in a temporal way, there are wonderful blessings that the Lord has allowed us here in this world. But your health is a great, wonderful blessing. And is it okay for God's little children to pray for one another's health? The Bible says that it is. It's okay that we pray for our natural blessings. That's why he says, give unto us this day our daily bread. In other words, it's important that we're praying for our natural needs. But what is really the most important? It's our spiritual soul prosperity. But notice, he says, even as thy soul prospereth. In other words, I'm seeing the Lord has blessed your soul and you're prospering in your soul. You're spiritually okay. You're spiritually feeling in fellowship with the Lord. And he says, just as you're spiritually feeling okay, I pray now that your natural health would be okay. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be. And that wish means to pray. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, in the margin, it does have the word pray. It's right there. A wish is not, oh, I wish upon a star, twinkle, twinkle, little star, and wishing in that kind of way. And that's how the wishes of so many people are in this world. I just wish for this and I wish for that. But listen, you and I don't do that in that sense. We should pray looking to the Lord. And he says, and I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. In other words, you're doing, the Lord has blessed you. Now, how did his soul prosper? Did he do that on his own? No, if you're okay with the Lord today, it's because of what the Lord has first done for you. There's no place for man to glory in any of this. And then he says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. In other words, they had been there and visited with them at that church and they found a brother of like precious faith. Don't we have some memories of that when we've traveled to other places and met brethren we've never met before and we've talked about the Lord and heard them talk about the Lord and you feel that close kinship with them. Folks you've never met before, never seen before. You feel like you've known all your life. Because, and that's the kind of relationship that he has here with Gaius. He says, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came, that is the brethren who had gone among them, and they came back talking about them. And he's testifying of the truth that is in thee, and even as thou walkest in the truth. Now notice he didn't just say what he said, but what he did. And that's really important. You know, when our mouth doesn't line up with our feet, then we we in trouble. And that's what's so important here, is that we wear the gospel. We live our lives as becomes the gospel. We put it on. We live it before the people that we live here in this world. That's what he meant when he said, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And Gaius had done that. And brethren had gone there, and Gaius had helped them, been liberal with them, probably opened his house up to them, probably allowed, they probably stayed with him, they probably had fellowship. Like we've set up so many nights with so many, with preachers around the table and talking about the things of God, having sweet fellowship, going over to, going like we did the other night, go over to the motel room and sit there with the pizza and just sit and talk about the things of the Lord, have sweet communion, sweet fellowship. We're talking about the real thing. He's not talking about just some thing that we don't understand and know about. It's talking about when brethren have fellowship together. And he says, "And I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Now, John, did John have children? He's not talking about the natural children. He's talking about those that he had been instrumental in the sense the Lord had blessed him, not to bring the dead to life, but to share the gospel with, that the Lord had used the ministry of John in a way that these had heard the preaching of the gospel. Now, who did this? Did John do it? No, the Lord did it. And the Lord opened up their ears and their hearts, and under the preaching and the influence of John, they walked in obedience, followed in obedience, took up their cross, united with the Lord's church, became a part of his church, having fellowship, communion, all of those things. And he says, there's a great joy when those that are like that continue to walk in the truth, and I see them walking faithfully in this world. I see them doing the things that God would have them to do, honoring and glorifying the Lord. And he says, as a minister, I believe that's what he's saying, as a minister, there's no greater joy than to hear that those that he had been with before and had an influence on, seeing them continue to walk in the truth. And there's really nothing that breaks your heart more when they go another course. One causes you to weep, one causes you to rejoice. Brethren, y'all being here this morning has been a blessing to me and a rejoicing in my heart. It's good to see you here. And when you're not here, we miss you. And it's just a blessing to have God's little children filling their seats, sitting as the little children of God, feeding on the Word of God, having a hunger and a thirst for it. Now, where does all that come from? It comes from the Lord. But that's a great joy that we see. And doesn't it make you happy to see others enjoying it? It does me. The more, that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He had a desire that others might see it and enjoy it, and walk in it, and believe it, and hold to it, and not just do it in the house, but as they go out, live it in the life. That's where the challenge comes, doesn't it? Not just what we do within the borders of this wall, of this church building, but how we live as we go out in the world. He said, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." Not only to the brethren, but to strangers. You know, sometimes we treat church brethren real, real good, not so much strangers. And that's not where Gaius was it? "Which have borne witness of thy charity." In other words, they came back before the church and said, "Oh, there's a dear brother down there named Gaius." That's just like I heard yesterday about a dear family's down down south from a brother. He said, "I was down there and they took me in. I found them to be such a loving, wonderful body of believers, and it's a joy to hear about that." Wherever we hear God moving and blessing his children. He says, "Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey of a godly sort, thou shalt do well." In other words, it was a good thing to help them along the way. "Because that," and this is why he did it, "because that for his name's sake they went forward, taking nothing of the Gentiles. That was those preachers that went out, did not take any. They were going out among the Gentiles preaching the gospel, and they didn't take anything from the Gentiles, but these helped them along the way. They supported them as they went out preaching the gospel. Is that a responsibility for us to do? Absolutely. He says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Sometimes you may, and we may feel that we're not much in a way of helping the truth. We don't preach, especially if we don't preach the gospel, how can I help the truth? By simply filling your seat, by praying, looking to the Lord, by encouraging the brethren that come before us, by helping them along the way in any way that we can, by doing things that would encourage them to continue to press on and be faithful and continue to preach the truth. Do y'all believe this truth is important? I really do. Should we be declaring it more boldly and more broadly? Are there others of God's children out in this community that might need to hear and know these things? Are we the only ones of God's children in this town? I don't believe that. I believe God has a people out there. And it's our responsibility. No, we don't go door to door and knock on doors and do those kinds of things. But as we live our lives, we ought to share the truth. And we ought to live in such a way that others would even ask of us a reason for the hope that is within us. And when they ask us, we should be ready to give an answer. Just like the Bible says, we're to be ready to give an answer. 1-8. He gets on verse 9 and he starts talking about old Diotrephes. And as good as Gaius was and what a blessing he was, Diotrephes was just almost the opposite. In other words, Gaius said, come on, preachers, I'll help you out. You come on here. Diotrephes said, we don't want anything to do with your letters. John, we don't want to do anything to do with the preachers that come from you. As a matter of fact, we're not going to have any fellowship with you. And if you send anybody up here and they receive them, we're going to kick those folks that receive them out of the church. Because I'm in charge and I don't want anybody to come here because I'm the boss. You have a pastor that feels like that, you've got trouble. You need a pastor. He needs to go. If it's me or whomever it is, when he starts thinking he's it, and he's the only one that has the answers, and he's the only, and there are men in this world that are consider themselves to be pastors, that consider themselves, and it can rise up even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even among us, it can rise up where someone thinks, I know it all, and I don't need anyone else or anything else, and I'll do anything, even to the point of hurting good brethren. I've seen divisions in this world that should never have happened, because good brethren became high-minded like Diotrephes, and the next thing you know, they caused harm because there was jealousy and strife among the brethren. Feel today that there's as much or more peace among our brethren and our local fellowship than it's ever been. And I'm thankful for that. But I want you to know that doesn't mean it can't happen. It can rise up in just a minute. If you see it in me, you come to me and say, brother, I'm seeing it, and I'm concerned about it. Don't let that just fester and grow. And as we see that in one, and it can happen not only among the brethren, but it can happen a single individual in the church who feels like I'm the boss and I'm in control can cause great damage in a church. And that's what he's warning of here. And he said, when I come to him, I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be Diotrephes when the apostle John showed up, would you? I wouldn't want to be Diotrephes. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth prating. That word prating means he talked foolishly against. In other words, he was talking he was outside of the truth. He says, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. In other words, he wasn't just content to talk about John. He talked about the brethren that were received by Gaius. And he talked about those that received them, and he forbidded them that they would. And he even got to the point he had that much authority. There were those following him that he hadn't that much authority that he had them removed from the assembly of the church. But they weren't done. That wasn't done correctly. It was wrong. And the apostle was pointing that out. And the Lord saw fit to leave this on record for us as a warning to us not to fall into that area. that error. And then he comes with the verse 11 again. He says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." Which means when we are living in this world, we want to remember to watch who we're following. You follow those that are good, that are following God, that are teaching the Word of God, that are preaching the Word of God, that are standing in the right way for the Word of God. And when you see one not going that way, we can't judge them eternally. We don't know who they are as far as a little child of God, but we know they're on the wrong track. And then he points out one to follow. He says his name's Demetrius. So we got Gaius, good brother, faithful. We got Diotrephes. We sure don't want to be Diotrephes. But then we have a good brother, Demetrius. Here's Demetrius. Be like Demetrius. Demetrius has good report. That means he has a good testimony to all men and of the truth itself. In other words, he's declaring the truth. What's the difference between Diotrephes and Demetrius? Diotrephes is declaring prating words. He's talking maliciously. He's talking not the truth. Demetrius has a good report, a good testimony, and he's talking the truth. He says, "Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true." You can read that in the Gospel of John 2, where he says that very thing, which allows us to understand and know it's John who's writing here. And he said, "I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee." In other words, I got a whole lot more to tell you about Diotrephes and Demetrius, but I'm not going to write that down here. Do you think that was inspired? Do you think that verse is inspired? It's in the Bible, isn't it? So yes, it's inspired. In other words, you don't have to keep going. He says, "But I trust I shall shortly see thee." I'm going to see you. "And we shall speak face to face," which is mouth to mouth. In other words, I'm not writing this letter. I'm going to tell you when I get there what's going on. And he says, and then he gives these words, "Peace be to you." Don't just say that quickly. It's peace be to you. You know who peace is? Who's the Prince of Peace? Who's the source of our peace? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, "Our friends," I believe he's saying, "our membership of our church salute you." In other words, I'm telling you, all the brethren here at Happy Creek say hello. When I talk to Brother Jamie, I'll say all the brethren at Happy Creek are asking about you and say hello, as if you said it yourself. And he says, "Greet thy friends by name." In other words, you just tell each one of them specifically by name, as if I was talking to them by name. Sounds very personal, doesn't it? In other words, it's not just the church, it's the individual members of the church. Every one of them are important. I hope the things that have been shared this morning have some benefit. If it has, give the glory and honor and praise to the Lord. And I do appreciate your kind attention. God bless you.